from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Halfway home on a Wednesday, and there's nothing really more satisfying than when something like that works. And if it doesn't, you flush it and try again. But that was a lot of fun.
You tier ones and like that entirely too much.
They really did. They loved to hear us uncomfortable, and we definitely were during, I guess,
I'm like sweating.
FaceTime roulette, essentially, is what it was. And that was incredible. Incredible. And completely off the cuff, which is, makes it so much better. Thanks for being here with us. Certainly appreciate that. If you're watching on YouTube, you get to see all the facial expressions. I'm just fanning my shirt because I'm just pouring sweat. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindel, the executive producer of this program. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And that was something else. I sent Paulie the letter that Hannah and I got from Andy Buckley, a.k.a. David Wallace from The Office, on our honeymoon. It was a moment, you never forget that. He couldn't have been kinder, and then to pick up the phone was just incredible. So I sent it to Paulie. He can put it in the chat, and you can see it on...
It's kind of hard to read.
It's very hard to read, but it's on Dunder Mifflin Stationery, and he's got a David Wallace business card that he put
Hannah
in there.
And Steve, great to meet you both, and congratulations. Get honeymooning because Bo needs a younger brother.
Yeah, we told him about Bo and
Peyton has
worked.
Eli.
Yeah, did.
I checked.
Peyton has Eli, I checked.
And Cooper, the oldest. All right, carry on.
That's what he does. The best, dude. The best. Such a kind guy. So that was awesome. That was awesome. How you feeling?
I'm kind of glad that no one answered my calls.
Why?
I don't know.
It was tough.
It went so well for you.
Yeah.
Us.
But there was a good chance that it could have gone very poorly.
It was tough to find somebody that had the level of cachet that we were looking for. And if they answer, they're not going to be like super angry with you.
Yeah.
Hell are you?
Very nice people was part of my equation in who I was dialing up. Like,
100%.
Okay, this person, even if they're mad, they're not going to show it because they're very nice. Like me.
He's one of my, and it just so happens, he was one of my favorite characters on television ever. David Wallace was the goat of The Office. He was so good, so understated. Whew, holy cow, man. That was a lot of fun. It was great. I wanted to talk about something. I think we're in safe harbor now. I'm looking around. I know, some of the people that work here listen early in the program, but they did the thing again yesterday. They had the big Odyssey summer barbecue, and they did it at, noon.
Which is when you eat barbecue.
I guess, but I felt excluded. We walked into the kitchen yesterday, and slabs of ribs, pots of beans.
They didn't just cater. No, like our colleagues, our coworkers here, smoked meats on their own to bring in for this company barbecue.
And they do these things at noon.
Well, I feel guilty now that I didn't go.
You got here at 5:30.
I know.
You did a 4-hour show, and then you live 30 minutes away.
And I've got to come back for television. Right. I know why I didn't go, but I feel bad because people put effort into this.
I had a doctor's appointment, straight into baseball camp, straight into baseball practice. And it's just, if you're going to throw a barbecue and everyone's invited, is 10 too early for everyone to eat, I guess?
Probably for other people. Like, yeah. For us, it's fine, but I can imagine that people don't want to start digging into potato salad and mac and cheese and ribs at 10 a.m.
We would absolutely slay a plate of, yeah. And we would do it at 6 a.m. We've eaten some weird stuff at... You know, we did lobster on opening day. It was like 6:30 in the morning, and I had no problem with it at all. But yeah, they had the barbecue yesterday. We all missed it. I guess technically we could have come back for it, but I feel like they don't want morning shows there. If you're going to do it at noon, you can't expect us to hang around for a couple hours, right? Sit around for 2 hours while they make phone calls.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a. It kind of just completely torches my day if I have to stay here until noon. Would I have liked to be here? Of course.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, that would have been the easy thing.
Can't really do the old leave and come back and go home for, 5 minutes?
Like, I'd go run errands, I guess, and then come back. And then I would have been here at 11:15 wanting to get the show on the road. So I would have been sitting around for 45 minutes.
I mean, the email thread post-barbecue was
nuts. I've not seen this.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for the delicious barbecue today, JR, Michael, John. The love and time you guys put into making that pulled pork, ribs, brisket, burnt ends really shone through. The meat was so tender, smoky, and flavorful. Don, Tammy, and Sam, I need your recipes for the potato salad, tortellini salad, and cornbread. Those sides were the perfect balance. That was such a delicious lunch. Can we make this an annual tradition?
Yeah, let's do it at 2 from now on, just to make sure that nobody from the morning shows.
I mean, I feel like I missed an entire episode of, barbecue pitmasters or something here.
Now, I walked in this morning, and it's the first thing I did. I went to the fridge to see what was left over, and... There's not much. There's some cupcakes in there, which I will certainly indulge here in a moment. But then there was a bowl of beans that was left out on the counter. So that's what we get. That's
overnight beans.
Overnight. These were already cooked and had been there. And they had a spoon stuck in the coagulated bean fat. And so I did walk in this morning. I went, appreciating it. Like, would it have been too much trouble to say...
In England, beans are a breakfast food.
That's true. Yeah. But would it have been too much trouble to maybe wrap up a plate and say, Ben, Paul, Woodsy? Would that have been... I guess that would have been too much to ask for. It's fine.
Why couldn't they just deliver it to wherever we were yesterday?
That's true.
That would have been
That's
even true. Better. DoorDash it to us.
I just feel I feel a little bit left out. I really do. Yeah. Hey, let me get that recipe. Well,
especially
for that.
After that email, I feel I missed the greatest meal in the history of meals.
Very cool.
Tender, smoky, flavorful brisket is really, that's all I'm going for.
We're not going to invite them. It would be like us doing, say, guys, we're putting something together for everybody. We're going to do it at 4 a.m. No, we're 7 a.m. We're going to do it at 7. They usually get here at 9, but we're going to ask them to come into it. There would be no one here. No one. Nobody would show up if we were there. Ben's going to cook for everybody. Yeah, because I'm not going to, but you're going to cook for everybody. And we'd
morning shows always get left out. We're doing a big
bash.
Family breakfast.
Yeah, family breakfast. And we're going to do that at 7 a.m. So we'd like all of the salespeople and the management.
Which Ben can't really do because we're also on the air from 6 till 7.
That's exactly right.
So
That's
I guess
exactly
we'll have right. to make it 5:30.
Left out again of the summer barbecue here at Odyssey. So it's a bummer. Looks good, though.
We were invited.
But
I just don't know if there's a better solution. You're asking for a solution that doesn't exist.
10 a.m.
10 a.m.'s early. Early for a barbecue lunch? No one does barbecue lunch at 10 a.m.
Well, then don't be upset if your morning shows don't show up.
Correct.
Okay, that's what I worry about. I worry that there are people like in management who are going, these guys aren't team players
because
they don't stick around for the barbecue. I'm like, I wish I could stick around for the barbecue.
How about after the round table? We could have done it.
Oh.
Yeah. How about that? We finish at 11. That's a pretty happy, you know, happy.
I'll throw burn ends on a slice of Round Table pizza. No problem.
No problem at all. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to do a barbecue lunch at 4 a.m. Anthony the Butcher said he'll help out. So, yeah, just the three of us.
I mean, bro, and Anthony. If I get like a call or an email or a text from somebody in sales or whatever here at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
4 o'clock is like 8 p.m. my time.
Sure.
Because we get up so early,
sure.
It's your time to shut it down. I don't call any of them at like 4:30 on my way into work. Hey,
start.
Just wanted to double check.
Hey,
we're still good for those.
How we doing on those spots? So good.
Have a little bit of...
Maggie says you guys were supposed to go out and barbecue and grill and bring stuff to the barbecue. Yeah, but it was 2 hours after we were off work. If you guys work 9 to 5s, and they say, yeah, we're doing a dinner here at 7. Nobody's staying. I mean, very few people are going to stay. They may beat traffic and stuff, but listen, it's fine.
And you're probably not going home just to come back then at 7 o'clock as well.
That's exactly
right.
It's
just that awkward moment.
I definitely, you want to feel like a team player, but it makes it difficult because of the schedule.
Like, I haven't even seen, like, JR kind of ran the show yesterday.
Yeah.
Our lead engineer. I have not even seen him this morning. Like, is he giving us the cold shoulder?
He's got the meat sweats, maybe.
Maybe.
Because he ate so many ribs that we would have eaten.
I just don't want him to be upset with us.
I don't either.
The last time we had a company meal,
we got in trouble. Well, I threw up.
No, you got violently ill on the air.
They did the... they did the breakfast here, and they cooked me up a nice omelet with some bacon grease plastic inside, and I ate it, and then I vomited, and I went home. Remember that? That was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Maybe it's probably a good idea I passed on.
Possibly.
All right.
Your gut thanks you.
That was that
sounds
was something.
Like it was good yesterday.
Oh, I guess Craig and Annie in their show, they said they were left out because they couldn't go because they were working. They're here, though.
They have commercial breaks.
Yeah, you could have run in and got something.
Grab a rib or two.
Yeah, the vomlet. That's what I ate. The vomlet last time.
I don't know about them, but trust me, if I was on the air from 10 to 2 and there was barbecue,
I would have gone.
I would have found a way to get.
Welcome back. Let's talk about grab some Yeah.
Would have found a way to eat some barbecue.
Well, let's go to break now so I can go get a cupcake.
All right. Get a cupcake. We'll come back. We'll hear from, speaking of Jackson Merrill. We'll hear from him last night if you missed it. Was it MLB Network where he was on?
Yes.
MLB Network, a little Jackson Merrill content for you. Coming up with Ben and Woods, don't go away. San Diego's number one sports station. Traffic right now on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Don't worry, guys. I got you covered.
Took care of us.
I did. I went to the break room, the kitchen, as it were, and fixed everybody a little plate of leftovers.
Some burnt ends, potato salad.
It's yours.
Thank you.
Ben, that's, and Paulie.
What happened to the...
The top fell off your cupcake. What? And I know you're trying to watch your weight.
So I get a frostingless cupcake and a...
Hawaiian roll?
A dinner roll?
That's King's Hawaiian roll.
Okay, but it's obviously... little older.
A cupcake on my Hawaiian.
And then there's some leftover cornbread crumbs. So I brought you guys...
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. Crumbs. They're crumbs from the cornbread, and it's just an assortment of breads.
I was hoping for burnt ends and...
No, I think all the good stuff's gone.
A tortellini salad.
No more brisket.
Good.
No, we got to...
So they ate it all.
They did.
So they didn't have enough for us anyway.
I don't think so. Apparently. Or they overindulged.
Or did they all take it home with them afterwards?
That would piss me off, actually. They all made plates to take home and didn't leave any...
Are you eating your...
King's Wine Roll. Delicious.
Have you had your cupcake yet?
Oh, I'm saving it.
You got frosting on yours.
Yeah, I got frosting on mine. Well, I know you're watching your weight. So.
Thanks. Yep. That is one of the keys at SDFatLoss.com.
Yeah.
Remove the frosting Correct. From your cupcakes.
Yep. We got you guys all taken care of.
Oh, fine.
Yep. What do you guys want to do here? Jackson Merrill?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yum. No, I'm good.
Assortment of breads left over.
I would think, obviously, it's not the end of the world if you go to your first All-Star game. Some guys don't even get in. You know, pitchers especially, they don't use everybody. But I would think that if you go to the first All-Star game, you want to get that first hit out of the way. If you're a pitcher, you know, record an out, get a strikeout. And all three of the Padres who participated last night were their first All-Star game experiences.
Yep.
And they all... got to leave Texas having something notched under their belts. Jurickson singled and scored a run, went 1-for-2. Jackson Merrill laced a line out and then got an infield single in his last at-bat, so 1-for-2. And Robert Suarez, 2/3 of an inning, 2 strikeouts, struck out both batters he faced. So you're probably feeling pretty good about your first All-Star experience if you're any one of those three San Diego Padres.
No question. And, you know, again, for guys like Robert Suarez, 33 years old, guys like Jurickson Profar, you know, could be your last one. Jackson Merrill, the future's bright. Doesn't mean you'll ever get back, though. It does not mean you will ever set foot in an All-Star game again. And you've heard from so many baseball players over the years that made the playoffs their first season. They're like, this is great. We're gonna do this every year. Never made it again.
Yeah, the reality is he could put up better numbers every year and still not make it.
100%.
It all depends on what other guys are doing and
yep.
what the situation is. It worked out well for him this year to get to the All-Star game. But
and I liked what Paul Skenes said yesterday. Now, he was the starting pitcher for the National League and went out and got his four batters, you know, got through it and was great. It was awesome. So good to see. So fun to watch. But instead of, all right, that was a lot of fun. I'm going to take it down, get in my street clothes and go kick it with my girlfriend, Libby Dunn. He stayed in the dugout and he stayed the entire time. Said he went down the hall, the tunnel to grab a bite to eat, but he was eating with other pitchers in the NL. And they asked him why he did it. And he goes, I mean, I was literally just picking guys' brains the whole time I was there. That's pretty amazing. I mean, he's a young kid, but he clearly gets it.
I know that the leaving early is a thing for the starters. Like, okay, this is my All-Star break, and now that I'm out of the game in the fourth inning, I can go home. I can just leave now. I just don't think I could do it. I understand that it's a business for them. It's work, and they are ready for a little vacation time, and it's already been interrupted by that. They've already had two of their vacation days essentially canceled with extra work by going to the All-Star game. I know that sounds so spoiled, but it is true.
It's true.
This is their job. They get one break during the year that is 4 days long. And if you make the All-Star game, you get two of them canceled, essentially. And all you get is Wednesday and maybe part of Thursday. And then your team expects you back. You may be getting on a plane for a road trip like the Padres are on Thursday. So you kind of want to get home and get going with your vacation. At the same time, if I was at an All-Star game, I don't care if I'd been there 10 times. I'd want to be there for the whole game. Be there, see what happens with all the teammates.
Yeah, no doubt.
Be in the dugout. I think it'd be tough to leave.
Yeah, it would be. Salvador Perez, I think it was his eighth or ninth or something last night, and he was talking about how much he loves it and how special they all are. And yeah, I mean, just that honor is incredible. It's just incredible. I loved what Skeen said. He's down there working, man. He's trying to get better, which is fantastic. And I think Jackson, you hear him talk, same type of thing.
Yeah,
picking guys' brains.
So like Paul Skeen's first experience for Jackson Merrill, and he talked a little bit about that first All-Star experience and more yesterday on MLB Network.
Guys, I'm here with San Diego Padres center fielder Jackson Merrill. Jackson, how's your first All-Star game been, buddy?
This was Jake,
awesome.
By the way.
It's been great. Met a lot of new people that I've played against and I really got to talk to, so it's been cool.
Who's been in your batting practice, Groot, and how was that?
I haven't even hit yet, but I get to hit with CJ, Ellie, and Elliot. So, you know, a lot of homers coming.
Look, you've come up as a rookie, and the sense of belonging just has been there. Where does that come from?
You know, it's just being comfortable and just be yourself. You know, don't try to do too much. Don't try to be a different person. Be yourself every day, and everything will play out.
As a San Diego Padre, I've been telling people this year's team is a little bit different, dangerous. Tell me why the Padres get in and make noise in the playoffs.
We got culture. We got a lot of family in the clubhouse. We got a lot of people that have a lot of other people's backs. You know, we're there to fight every day for each other, and that's really important on team.
You're going to see this young man's face for a long time. Jackson Merrill, we appreciate the time, my man.
All right, so in some ways, the last answer there is something you say, but I also think it's true that this, like last year's San Diego Padres team, they were always trying to explain why things were, they
going
were okay.
Wrong,
no,
right.
I mean, but, like,
yes,
they,
yes.
Like, things seemed better than it looked, like from the outside. No. We like each other. You know,
yeah, so no, it's fine.
It's all fine. This year's team, there does seem to be like some genuine camaraderie,
you know, and
pulling on the same rope.
I don't want to.
It
know,
hasn't really had a huge.
That's
difference
what I was just
going to
say.
Standings.
Is like I don't want to like be the negative Nancy, but I will say, you know, at the end of the year, you still have to have. You can have all the desire and all the chemistry and all of the having each other's back. You still have to have the talent to rise to the top. Now I agree fully that if we can find a way to get in and be healthy when we get in, nobody wants to play this team. Nobody. No one wants them. And, I mean, years ago you'd look, oh, we got the Padres in the first round. Easy draw. I mean, do we even need BP for this? Well, that's exactly what happened to the Dodgers. They didn't even hit BP. They didn't hit BP.
That's right.
Remember that? I mean, Mookie Betts is like, no, we're good.
It's just the Padres.
It's just the Padres. Nobody will take this team lightly. And I do feel like if they get it, I'm not saying they're going to cruise to the World Series.
Is it extra sweet because this is against the Dodgers?
I'm not saying they're going to even win a game. But what I'm saying is you're going to get some pretty badass effort if they're healthy, if they can find a way in. That's why this has felt a little different this year.
That's the trick, though, because as you were saying, no amount of will, camaraderie,
want to,
and good feeling overcomes a lack of pitching depth.
I mean, the White Sox could be, love each other madly. They could go out and rage in Chicago and party together every night and be the best of friends. At the end of the day, do you have the talent to get there? And the answer for certain teams is no. Now, A.J. Preller, you know, it's kind of on him at this point. It's kind of on some things that are out of anybody's control, like if you comes back, all of that. It's out of everyone's control.
And while there has been offensive inconsistency as well, I don't look at that as being quite as critical. The Phillies have offensive inconsistency.
Sure.
Every team goes through offensive ups and downs. You
the
have
Yankees,
a few guys slumping at once.
That
happens to everybody. For the most part, the Padres have shown a pretty good ability, bat to ball, you know, getting base hits, putting together rallies, big innings. Offensively, they've been fine. They'll be better when Tatis comes back, but they've been pretty good. It's clearly the pitching that is the concern going forward. Poor starts from some starters, inconsistency from some starters, and a bullpen that is just a ticking time bomb. It's good at times. Guys have all put together good runs, but then you snap your fingers and it's over, and when it is, the ball is flying out of the yard. Home runs given up like crazy from that bullpen, and that is hard to overcome.
It really is, man.
And still get your team to the playoffs.
Yep,
Too many just instant losses. When you have you give up four runs in the first three innings, I mean, yeah, you're going to come back once or twice, but most often, instant loss. Your bullpen explodes one day and gives up five runs, instant loss.
Yep.
I mean, these are all kinds of things that have led to so many. What are the 49 losses have? How many do you think you can blame either on a poor starting pitching performance in the first, like, three innings, or on a bullpen explosion that you weren't really thinking was going to happen? Maybe 35 of them?
Yeah. Seriously, exactly right.
You know, yeah, there's a few losses that are, yeah, they pitched pretty well, and yeah, they just got beat that day because the offense didn't show up. But I would say, like, at least half of the Padres' losses were starting pitching just wasn't good that day, and they put themselves in a deep hole, or starting pitching was decent, but then the bullpen just went boom, unexpectedly.
Yeah, the only thing that gives me a little bit of hope is that they have been a little bit out of sync. You know, when one's doing well, the other kind of falters and vice versa. You would like to see those things come together. And yeah, there's no guarantee that they will. But if that happens, you can patchwork your way into you still need more. I mean, you don't have enough, literally, bodies right now to get the job done. So you're going to need more, and you're going to need contributions from the guys that are in there. The Waldrons, they got to stay hot. Dylan Cease has got to stay hot. You know, Joe Musgrove's got to get back. Yu Darvish, we don't know. He's such a wild card. But I think it's incumbent on AJ Preller right now, Ben, to try his very best to restock. Give these guys a little bit of a breather, because the second half is going to be nasty. Nasty. And right out of the gate.
I surprised you guys earlier. You guys were both a little more optimistic in your guessing, but I asked you guys before the show started, what would you guess the FanGraphs analytical-driven prediction is, or percentage chances are for the Padres to make the playoffs? And you guys both said like 52.
I said like 46. Woods, and Wood, like, said over 50. But yeah, I figure they're out of a playoff spot right now, so it's probably under 50 somewhere.
They are tied with the Diamondbacks at 39.4% chance of making the playoffs.
Don't you guys remember last year watching that number daily?
Yeah. And we daily check-ins on it.
87%, 84, 81.
How about in 2021? I think it was up in the 90s at some point.
Yeah,
and
dude.
They ended up not even close to the playoffs at the end.
So it's going to take, it's not going to take a miracle by any stretch. It's not going to be a miracle.
No, 390. Tony Gwynn at his very best going up and having a chance to get a base hit. You feel pretty good about that.
Yep.
But that's the chances right now.
But that number, that 39.4%, could change dramatically if you don't take care of business on this upcoming road trip starting on
Friday. It did on this last homestand. It was well over 50 when the last homestand started.
100%.
Now it's at 39. So it can go either way when they come out of the break. All right, when we come out of the break, Rob Manfred addressed a number of issues yesterday, talking with the media, including the robot umpires who may be coming to Major League Baseball, the Olympics, and whether baseball players from the major leagues will be participating in those, and gambling in the sport as well. We'll address some of those topics as well on our show coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Well, we've been talking about robot umpires and automated ball and strike system for several years now, but there is finally an actual plan in place that was revealed yesterday by MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. We'll talk about what is going to be different about baseball starting next spring training, right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So while the automated strike system seems fairly cutting edge for big league baseball fans like ourselves, it really isn't that new. It's for 5 years now. Major League Baseball has been experimenting in the minor leagues with different systems, including this year, in which all AAA ballparks have an automatic strike zone. It started out that half the games were using it just every call. Umpire in the behind home plate didn't have to do anything other than register what he heard in his ear, strike or ball, and just would let everybody know. The other half of the games were using a challenge system where the umpire would call it with the human element, but you could use a challenge if you were a batter and you thought, hey, he just called a strike on me that was outside the zone. You tap your helmet and they go to the replay and it quickly and efficiently decides whether it was a ball or a strike. So they have already changed that. It's now all challenge system in the minor leagues. They preferred not having the automatic umpire call every pitch, which kind of tells you that probably never going to be that way, or at least not in the near future in Major League Baseball. There's not simply going to be no human element. Umpires will still call balls and strikes. But starting next spring, they're going to experiment now with a challenge system in Big League Baseball, in giving players the opportunity to challenge the home plate umpire's call on balls and strikes. Don't know how many exactly necessarily. Is it, you know, three per game? Is it one per inning? I don't know what the details, and they'll probably still be working it out. But even if it goes well, Manfred said yesterday, we're not looking to implement it for regular season games until 2026.
Okay.
So we're still a year and a half away from possibly real games being impacted by a robot strike zone.
I've come around a lot, I think, to the idea of, you know, no robot, right? My take was always, if I'm an umpire, you know, oh, won't you be upset? No, you took the hardest part of my gig. I work every day and I rotate the bases. And I think they would all say working home plate, probably the most exciting, but probably the most difficult. And it's the one that you get the most grief for. And if you took the hardest part of my job out and I still made the same money, like, great. I'm all in. And where do I sign up for that? It might take my ego out of it entirely. You're taking the hardest part of my job out. I'm going to make the same money and you're doing all the work for me. Sold. Where do I sign up? It's like, hey, Woodsy, you want to do it on the radio, but you don't have to talk? You don't have to come up with any ideas? Yeah, it sounds good. Where do I sign? Right? But I heard Crisello talking about this yesterday with Italian Paul. And Tony Gwynn Jr. has mentioned as well, the strike zone isn't a uniform strike zone on every player. Your strike zone is different than mine, that is different than Paul's. And that's just how it is. Altuve's is different than Judge's, right? Because they're different size players,
I mean, if two guys are, you know, Paul and I are about the same height.
Right.
Shouldn't our strike zones essentially be the same?
Essentially, though. But you know what I'm saying? It's Altuve and Judge. Ellie De La Cruz and so-and-so, it's going to be different. And the computers can't really do that yet. They have not figured out a way to make it perfect. And so with the challenge system, no problem. Hey, I disagree with that call, man. Boom, tap my head. Actually, it was a strike. But what's it based on? Is it based on the player? Is it based on the box? You know, I know a lot of people hate the box. I love the box. I don't ever want the box taken away. It gives me an idea. There was last night, it was like, they didn't have the box, and
so,
then there
yeah.
was like a faint box.
The,
I thought
the I saw like Mike Cameron tweeted, hey, "I love that they don't have the box."
I hated
but they
it.
Did have the box.
It was very
just
faint.
A little bit more understated.
Yeah, because there's a couple pitches I saw, and I went
and pitches either lit up or didn't lit up with
yeah.
the full dot or the empty dot, whether it was a ball or a strike. But it was a nice. I thought it was a nice little adjustment that Fox made. They, you know, they unveil new things in the All-Star game sometimes that will then be implemented in regular season broadcasts. I, you know, Rob Manfred says the technology is really good. It's accurate to 1/100th of an inch at this point, but he says it's not perfect yet. And if he's going to make a mistake, it's going to be waiting a little bit longer to see if they can get it as accurate as possible, rather than rushing to implement something and then realizing that they have a problem on their hands. And I think the one that I've heard discussed that could be the biggest problem is there are pitches that no one disagrees are balls sometimes. Even the batter. Even the pitcher. Like, I missed that one. It was a slider way down. But somehow it ticked the zone as it went by. Like, it caught the bottom corner of,
yep.
of as it was falling away. And even the pitcher never thought it was a strike.
Correct.
But the zone says it is.
Right.
Do you want those pitches now called strikes that everyone kind of agreed in the past was a ball?
You know, you have a limited number of challenges, so use them judiciously is all I'll say. We talk a lot about the spirit of the rule. And when Ellie De La Cruz steals second base and his quad comes off the base for a split second and somebody's got a tag on him, is he really out? Is he really out, or did he swipe that bag? He swiped it. That's a steal. You're
not talking about a guy who like slides past the base, comes all the way off, and then he's tagged.
I'm talking about. You know,
you're
exactly
laying on
what
the base, but because of physics, as you're bumping over,
your
stomach
hand comes off.
It just kind of comes off half for a second.
And we've seen those, and those are the ones that make me bang my head against the wall. And that you feel like you got away with one there. So I think as long as you can keep it, Ben, again, with there's a certain number of challenges that you have. Problem is going to be this. Who do you trust with your challenge? Like, if it's Luis Arraez, let's do Mike Schilt. If you're Mike Schilt, your pregame meeting. All right, we got 9 challenges to use, and Luis Arraez, you trust him more than you trust.
I mean, you know the
Jerks
players who roll their eyes on pitches that are in the zone. I don't want you doing it all the time.
Exactly.
But
dude,
you know what? Ultimately, for fans, isn't that just another element of
come on!
For us to talk about?
Yes.
And, you know, make the game even more interesting. If I'm a manager, if I'm a player, if I'm an umpire, I don't know that. Yeah, this is going to be harder for everybody in certain ways. You said the umpire, as you said, if they just did it automatically all the time, takes it off my plate. I don't even have to worry about it. But with a challenge, you're not only embarrassed on TV by the box, you're embarrassed in front of the crowd that's there instantly. Well, I got that one wrong, and I get to find out immediately. Just like I always wonder when they, you know, the challenges on plays at the first base, and they immediately challenge. If I'm the first base umpire, I just call the guy out, and it takes about 8 seconds to overturn my call, I feel like an idiot.
Yeah, you feel
as an umpire.
Moron. Yeah,
I feel like an idiot.
For sure. No, I don't know entirely what the answer is, but I do know that there is one, and there is a better way to do it. There's a better way to make the game more accurate, and I think that's what we all want. We've all seen egregious calls, and again, we've talked to so many experts on this show that say, well, actually, umpires are better now than they've ever been. Great. Maybe across the board, but that's graded on a curve. There's really good ones, and then there are ones that are absolute horse-ass. Doug Eddings doesn't know what he's doing. C.B. Buckner, they don't know what they're doing back there. They're so egregiously bad that it's so hard to watch those games when they're behind the dish.
Who was behind the plate last night? He was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably
felt solid.
Who's the guy that just got popped for gambling that had the potential?
Oh, the perfect one?
The perfect,
yeah. It wasn't him, I bet.
I mean,
Hoberg,
yeah. So I just, it's got to be better, and that's fine. Let's experiment with it to get it better.
One other topic that was brought up, Rob Manfred said that players have pretty much overwhelmingly said they would like the ability to play baseball in the Olympics, possibly as soon as 2028 when the Olympics come to Los Angeles.
All right.
Logistically, though,
nightmare.
This is a nightmare scenario for Major League Baseball.
Pure Olympic, nightmare.
You know, 2-week tournament in the middle of summer, in the middle of a season. Do you keep playing the season without some of your biggest stars? I mean, not just American stars, but presumably every country that has Major League Baseball players is going to want their stars. So you deplete every roster or most rosters and just keep playing. Or you take 2 full weeks off. Do you skip an All-Star game and add another week to it so they can do that? How is that possibly going to work? Do you shorten the season and then the owners are going, well, what about all the revenue from those extra, you know, 15 games we're not playing? How do you do it? Do you extend the season and take the playoffs into the middle of November at the end of the World Series? Do you start in March when it's snowing at Fenway Park on opening day? There's really no great solution that gets Major League Baseball players to the Olympics in the middle of the summer, even though, yes, they want to do it. I'm okay with just saying, you know what? It's just not a thing. We have the World Baseball Classic, which is good. It's not perfect.
I'd rather bang the World Baseball Classic and do the every Olympics. 4 years, just take 2 weeks off in July.
Because that's essentially what it is. It's
kind
the
of.
World.
I mean, it's been weird with COVID. Like, yeah. That changed the schedule.
It's always, though, in March when pitchers aren't stretched out.
Which is also a problem.
Normally. Yeah. So,
we've talked about maybe that needs to like replace the All-Star game every 3 or 4 years or whatever
it is. We've talked about that with literal managers that said, no, it's because of this I don't have my, you know, one of my best pitchers. Because of this tournament. And
it undoubtedly hurt the Padres. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Well, we've been talking about robot umpires and automated ball and strike system for several years now. But there is finally an actual plan in place that was revealed yesterday by MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. Talk about what is going to be different about baseball starting next spring training, right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So while the automated strike system seems fairly cutting edge for big league baseball fans like ourselves, it really isn't that new. It's for 5 years now, Major League Baseball has been experimenting in the minor leagues with different systems, including this year, in which all AAA ballparks have an automatic strike zone. It started out that half the games were using it just every call. Umpire in the behind home plate didn't have to do anything other than register what he heard in his ear, strike or ball, and just would let everybody know. The other half of the games were using a challenge system where the umpire would call it with the human element, but you could use a challenge if you were a batter and you thought, hey, he just called a strike on me that was outside the zone. You tap your helmet and they go to the replay and it quickly and efficiently decides whether it was a ball or a strike. So they have already changed that. It's now all challenge system in the minor leagues. They preferred not having the automatic umpire call every pitch, which kind of tells you that probably never going to be that way, or at least not in the near future in Major League Baseball. There's not simply going to be no human element. Umpires will still call balls and strikes. But starting next spring, they're going to experiment now with a challenge system in Big League Baseball, in giving players the opportunity to challenge the home plate umpire's call on balls and strikes. Don't know how many exactly necessarily. Is it, you know, three per game? Is it one per inning? I don't know what the details, and they'll probably still be working it out. But even if it goes well, Manfred said yesterday, we're not looking to implement it for regular season games until 2026.
Okay.
So we're still a year and a half away from possibly real games being impacted by a robot strike zone.
I've come around a lot, I think, to the idea of, you know, no robot, right? My take was always, if I'm an umpire, you know, oh, won't you be upset? No, you took the hardest part of my gig. I work every day and I rotate the bases. And I think they would all say working home plate, probably the most exciting, but probably the most difficult. And it's the one that you get the most grief for. And if you took the hardest part of my job out and I still made the same money, like, great. I'm all in. Where do I sign up for that? It might take my ego out of it entirely. You're taking the hardest part of my job out. I'm going to make the same money, and you're doing all the work for me. Sold. Where do I sign up? It's like, hey, Woodsy, you want to do it on the radio, but you don't have to talk? You don't have to come up with any ideas? Yeah, it sounds good. Where do I sign? Right? But I heard Chris Ello talking about this yesterday with Italian Paul. And Tony Gwynn Jr. has mentioned as well, the strike zone isn't a uniform strike zone on every player. Your strike zone is different than mine, that is different than Paul's. And that's just how it is. Altuve's is different than Judge's, right? Because they're different size players,
I mean, et cetera. If you guys are, you know, Paul and I are about the same height.
Right.
Shouldn't our strike zones essentially be the same?
Essentially, though. But you know what I'm saying? It's Altuve and Judge. Ellie De La Cruz and so-and-so, it's going to be different. And the computers can't really do that yet. They have not figured out a way to make it perfect. And so with the challenge system, no problem. Hey, I disagree with that call, man. Boom, tap my head. Actually, it was a strike. But what's it based on? Is it based on the player? Is it based on the box? You know, I know a lot of people hate the box. I love the box. I don't ever want the box taken away. It gives me an idea. There was last night, it was like they didn't have the box. And so, then there was like a faint box,
the,
I thought.
The I saw like Mike Cameron tweeted, hey, I love that they don't have the box.
I hated
but they
it.
Did have the box. It was just faint. A little bit more understated.
Yeah, because there's a couple pitches I saw and I went.
And pitches either lit up or didn't lit up with the full dot or the empty dot, whether it was a ball or a strike. But it was a nice, I thought it was a nice little adjustment that Fox made. They, you know, they unveil new things in the All-Star game sometimes that will then be implemented in regular season broadcasts. I you know, Rob Manfred says the technology is really good. It's accurate to 1/100th of an inch at this point. But he says it's not perfect yet. And if he's going to make a mistake, it's going to be waiting a little bit longer to see if they can get it as accurate as possible rather than rushing to implement something and then realizing that they have a problem on their hands. And I think the one that I've heard discussed that could be the biggest problem is there are pitches that no one disagrees are balls sometimes. Even the batter, even the pitcher. Like, I missed that one. It was a slider way down. But somehow it ticked the zone as it went by. Like, it caught the bottom corner of, of as it was falling away. And even the pitcher never thought it was a strike.
Correct.
But the zone says it is.
Right.
Do you want those pitches now called strikes that everyone kind of agreed in the past was a ball?
You know, you have a limited number of challenges, so use them judiciously is all I'll say. We talk a lot about the spirit of the rule. And when Elly De La Cruz steals second base and his quad comes off the base for a split second and somebody's got a tag on him, is he really out? Is he really out, or did he swipe that bag? He swiped it. That's a steal. You're
not talking about a guy who like slides past the base, comes all the way off
back.
Of it, and then he's
tagged. I'm talking about. You know,
you're
exactly
laying on
what
the
I mean.
Base, but because of physics, as you're bumping over,
yes,
you know,
your
stomach
hand comes off.
You
right.
know, it just kind of comes off half for a second.
And we've seen those, and those are the ones that make me bang my head against the wall. And that you feel like you got away with one there. So, I think as long as you can keep it, Ben, again, with a there's a certain number of challenges that you have. Problem is going to be this. Who do you trust with your challenge? Like, if it's Luis Arraez, and let's do Mike Schilt. If you're Mike Schilt, your pregame meeting. All right, we got nine challenges to use, and Luis Arraez, you trust him more than you trust.
I mean, you know the Jerkson players who roll their eyes on pitches that are in the zone. I don't want you doing it all the time.
Exactly.
But
dude,
you know what? Ultimately, for fans, isn't that just another element of
come on!
For us to talk about?
Yes.
And, you know, make the game even more interesting. If I'm a manager, if I'm a player, if I'm an umpire, I don't know that. Yeah, this is going to be harder for everybody in certain ways. You said the umpire, as you said, if they just did it automatically all the time, takes it off my plate. I don't even have to worry about it. But with a challenge, you're not only embarrassed on TV by the box, you're embarrassed in front of the crowd that's there instantly. Oh, I got that one wrong, and I get to find out immediately. Just like I always wonder when they, you know, the challenges on plays at the first base, and they immediately challenge. If I'm the first base umpire, I just call the guy out, and it takes about 8 seconds to overturn my call, I feel like an idiot.
Yeah, you feel
as
like
an
a
umpire.
Moron. Yeah.
I feel like an idiot.
For sure. No, I don't know entirely what the answer is, but I do know that there is one, and there is a better way to do it. There's a better way to make the game more accurate, and I think that's what we all want. We've all seen egregious calls, and again, we've talked to so many experts on this show that say, well, actually, umpires are better now than they've ever been. Great. Maybe across the board, but that's graded on a curve. There's really good ones, and then there are ones that are absolute horse ass. Doug Eddings doesn't know what he's doing. C.B. Buckner, they don't know what they're doing back there. They're so egregiously bad that it's so hard to watch those games when they're behind the dish.
Who was behind the plate last night? He was pretty good.
I don't know. Probably
felt solid.
Who's the guy that just got popped for gambling that had the...
Oh, the perfect one.
The perfect,
it wasn't him, I bet.
I mean,
Hoberg,
yeah. So I just, it's got to be better, and that's fine. Let's experiment with it to get it better.
One other topic that was brought up, Rob Manfred said that players have pretty much overwhelmingly said they would like the ability to play baseball in the Olympics, possibly as soon as 2028 when the Olympics come to Los Angeles.
All right.
Logistically, though,
nightmare.
This is a pure nightmare scenario for Major League Baseball.
Pure Olympic, nightmare.
You know, 2-week tournament in the middle of summer, in the middle of a season. Do you keep playing the season without some of your biggest stars? I mean, not just American stars, but presumably every country that has Major League Baseball players is going to want their stars. So you deplete every roster or most rosters and just keep playing. Or you take 2 full weeks off. Do you skip an all-star game and add another week to it so they can do that? How is that possibly going to work? Do you shorten the season? And then the owners are going, well, what about all the revenue from those extra, you know, 15 games we're not playing? How do you do it? Do you extend the season and take the playoffs in the middle of November at the end of the World Series? Do you start in March when it's snowing at Fenway Park on opening day? There's really no great solution that gets Major League Baseball players to the Olympics in the middle of the summer, even though, yes, they want to do it. I'm okay with just saying, you know what? It's just not a thing. We have the World Baseball Classic, which is good. It's not perfect.
I'd rather bang the World Baseball Classic and do the every Olympics. 4 years, just take 2 weeks off in July.
Because that's essentially what it is. It's
kind
the
of.
World.
I mean, it's been weird with COVID. Like, that changed the schedule.
It's always, though, in March when pitchers aren't stretched out.
Which is also a problem.
Normally.
Yeah. So, we've talked about maybe that needs to like replace the All-Star game every 3 or 4 years or whatever
it is. We've talked about that with literal managers that said, no, it's because of this I don't have my, you know, one of my best pitchers. Because of this tournament. And
it undoubtedly hurt the Padres last
undoubtedly
year.
no question. So I don't know there. A lot of guys always say, you know, playing for country is like the highest honor. They've asked them World Series or gold medal, like, to a man, they're like gold medal.
I mean, the World Baseball Classic, I could take it or leave it.
I think
it's a good idea. The international play and everything.
Awesome.
So if baseball's going to be in the Olympics,
then just do that.
Then just let every country.
I mean, it
stock
already
up their
is,
teams.
But it's usually a bunch of minor leaguers and a couple college players, and we have an Olympic baseball tournament, but no one pays attention to it
because the stars.
It's like watching a single A game or a double A game or something like that. They're just not. There's no star players involved, so why would we care about
it? What does the NHL do? They're talking about it in the chat. They have had the same issue where they have been trying to replace their teams going to the Winter Olympics. Most of the internet hockey community wants the pros in the Olympics.
I feel like last time they did like an Olympic break.
They did that. I think the answer
is... But they play indoors. They can stretch the season a little bit out on both ends. It doesn't change things. Baseball played outdoors. You can't stretch the season earlier in March or later in November.
Yeah.
It's already stretched to the absolute limit.
It pretty much is. And shortening games, no owners are going to sign up for that.
Nope.
15 fewer games, 20 fewer games, whatever it is. Since they did a break. Yeah, I don't know. I love it, though. I love the idea of, you know, Jackson Merrill going out and playing for Team USA would be badass. And Manny Machado playing for, you know, the Dominican team. Like, I love it. I love the World Baseball Classic. I think you just have to let them play. You have to let them play for the country if they want
to. It's overkill to have both. You're not going to have a World Baseball Classic and an Olympics. And then you're having, what, every 2 years you've got this going on, essentially.
Yeah,
to me, that's too much. One or the other. Figure it out. One or the other. I don't need both the World Baseball Classic and a full Olympic tournament with Major League Baseball players.
Think about it. Let's call it a 2 week break.
Two weeks.
July.
Yeah.
No All-Star game that year.
Yeah.
That's one of the weeks, essentially.
How many Padres players? How many players on your favorite team could use 2 weeks off, even if they're not playing in the world or, you know, the Olympics?
Except FYI, we're gonna take that full two when that happens.
Oh yeah,
so you know,
yeah.
Second week of Benowitz summer break.
Just like, my god,
we'd actually have a lot of content. Olympic baseball tournament action would be
Arise
very entertaining.
Use those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Profar. Tatis.
Yeah.
Bogarts, who's just coming back. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think anybody'd say no to that.
It's always a zero-sum game, though. Other teams get healthy, too, or maybe you are healthy and you're taking advantage of the other teams that aren't healthy 1 year, and all of a sudden, all your advantage disappears because of that two-week break. Can't benefit everybody, Paulie. It can only benefit some teams and hurt other teams.
Michael says, NBA, NHL, soccer all have World Cups. The stars play in those. Why must baseball have one or the other?
The Olympic soccer is not the full thing. That's just under 23 for the men, at least. They don't have the full stars from around the world for that.
All the NBA, all the basketball tournaments, whether it's the World Cup or FIBA
NBA is outside their season, so that's pretty simple for them to do.
Yeah, the Summer Olympics happen in the summer, which is where you're playing baseball. You're not playing any other sport. Yeah.
Unless you get a dome stadiums and make it a winter Olympic sport,
right.
Baseball.
Yeah.
All right, final hour coming up. Paulie's got some headlines in the Rindler Report and more. Stick around. Ben and Woods continuing on summer break on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.